Welcome to this week, Fast Break Radio. Jake Singleton here, and we're going to talk about everything NBL 1 West, and it's going to be a big show as usual. And first up, we do have a women's guest, but let's talk about that in a sec. We've got Michael Dupree from the Willerton Tigers coming on for the men's division, so I'm excited to talk to him. And but before we get to our women's guest, I want to shout out, as always, my sponsors, Buckets Basketball. They do a great job. You can check them out on their Instagram and Facebook. Hoop with them, which is Marty Nelson's, you know, his side hustle he's got going on. We've got lots and lots and lots going on, and also Cozy Section as well. So you can catch them at Hillary's Boat Harbor, and go to the store and check out some of their clothes and some of their shoes they've got going on. It's a great store, and looking to do some more collabs with them this year. But we got to get into the show. It's a big one this week. Been a lot of basketball. But joining me is the new head coach this year, his first year head coaching with the Joondalup Wolves Women's. It's Jesse Penns. Jesse, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And Jesse, you've been around the Wolves for a few years now, being like an assistant with the men's. And after the departure of Marcus Wong, you got given, you know, the keys to the women's division and the women's team. And how was that just to be named as the new head coach for the Wolves this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor and privilege to be at such a well-esteemed club, obviously one that I'm familiar with, working in our Wobble space and our domestic space as well, and happy to take the reins of such a quality team this year.
And I just wanted to ask, you know, how was your rise? Well, you climbing up the ladder to, as you mentioned, working with Wobble and stuff like that, but how did you put yourself in the position to be the head coach this year?
Yeah, I mean, I head coached the D-League men for the last couple of seasons, as well as helped out in Adelaide for 2020 and 2021. My previous experience coaching in America while I was a math teacher as well. So been coaching for about 15 years, always just hoping for your opportunity. And so thought I was able to cash in on one.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And yeah, as you mentioned, you worked close with Dave Morrell as well over in the Southern Tigers. Being from the States as well, what was kind of your process and thought process of coming over to Australia, because you know basketball was huge in Australia, but you know it's huge back in the States. But what was your process of coming over to, well, I know it was first in Adelaide, but what made you kind of move over to Australia to start pursuing basketball as like a full-time job?
I think I grew up in a small town in America, so Klamath Falls, Oregon, only maybe 20,000 people, and I think for me the most emblematic coaching I could see was, you know, those high school teachers that coached their like local high school team. So I kind of went down that path. And after doing that for 5 or 6 years, I didn't, while I loved teaching and I loved coaching while I was in Reno, Nevada, I just didn't like my opportunities to move forward and really progress as like a coach. Mm. So I'm really grateful for my experience teaching. I think it helps me connect with people and helps me with a lot of things, just writing on a whiteboard, even though it sounds, I didn't like my opportunities to move up so much in where I was at, and it was tough to leave my family and all that, but I talk to them as frequently as I can.
Mm. Well, your girls are looking, you know, very good this year, and you would know, being around the Wolves, the fan base, the professionalism around the club is, you know, second to none. But I want to talk about some signings, you know, and I've spoken to Sarah Tawena as well, who came down from the Mandurah Magic, which is a big signing. Darian Huff, there's a lot of people might not know much about Darian, but coming over from the States. And then also getting Emma Clark as well, which was, I think, a big signing, but she is injured at the moment. But hopefully we can get her back on the court. Look, and as well, you know, you've got such a great team, you know, Georgia Smith as well coming on. How was your recruiting process? And you've done definitely a great job at getting everyone down at the Wolves this year.
Yeah, I mean, just laying out the budget, working with Andrew Somerville, our CEO, in terms of how we can best fit the pieces together. And like you said, we have that fan base and the game nights and just try to be a really well-run club. And I think that's attractive to players in the market, so we try to use that as a little bit of recruiting advantage.
And I also wanted to mention the new kind of, well, not new arena, but moving over to the bigger courts rather than the newer kind of side to HBF Arena. How is that? Because you would have coached as an assistant in the, you know, court one kind of space, as I mentioned, the new side. But how does it feel, you know, coming over to, you know, the kind of older courts, but a bigger space, a lot more fans can be packed in there. And I haven't been there yet this year. I was at the national championships, which were held in Joondalup. But yeah, how's the for people who haven't been there this year, how is, you know, the atmosphere, how is it to play in front of, you know, a bigger crowd this year at Joondalup?
Yeah, I mean, we loved our home court advantage in 2022 and 2023. In 2022, our men's team had, you know, five or six crazy comeback games in the fourth quarter, and that place would get rocking. We did run out of seats a little bit in 2023, so acted the move over to, you know, the court six side or the show court side of HBF. And we talked about it being a little bit of a year of transition, but man, it's packed. You know, why not be packed like pregame? But there's always a moment I turn around at like the end of the first quarter, I'm like, oh man, there's a lot of people here. And it's great to have that kind of support that we do.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, let's talk about some of the games that happened in round six. And first off, it was the Coburn Cougars, the defending champions, getting a huge win at Wally Hagen Stadium against Southwest Slammers, 132-47. And all starters having double digits, or over 15 points for Coburn. It was Danielle Raber with 15.7 rebounds, 7 assists. Jesse Edwards, 20.6 rebounds. Jewel Williams with 21 points and 3 assists. And for the Slammers, it was Zaya Black with 16.7 rebounds against her old side. And then Yasmin Smith as well with 8.2 rebounds. And for Coburn, the defending champions, they've done a good job. Tyrone Thwaites getting, you know, Steph Gorman back. Regan Turner-McCarty, who's from Kalgoorlie last year. Jesse Edwards keeping her and Jewel Williams. And yeah, keeping a lot of their, you know, young players. Even Taryn Priestley, who played 200 games this weekend as well. Congratulations to her. But yeah, what's your thoughts on the defending champions in the Coburn Cougars?
I mean, we've been dodging them on the schedule up to this point. I do have a clash coming up here soon, but we'll have to be braced for. But no, definitely been tracking them throughout the year. You know, Jewel going 5-for-5 in that game against Slammers from the 3-point line. They're obviously one of the top teams as, you know, defending champion that has a lot of their core back. And I think they've got a couple more to come in terms of Maria. I don't know how to say her last name, Blaszczykowski.
Blaszczykowski, yeah. Yeah.
But they've got her to come back and, yeah, I mean, they've obviously a strong side. Danielle Raber, I think it's only her second or third game and she's been very, very effective in her short time here already. So,
yeah, she definitely has. And then let's go to Bendat Basketball Center as the Parallax Hawks going down to the Warwick Senators, 84-56. And Perry Lakes, yeah, not really much on the scoring side as he has, you know, having the 56 points. We've seen them score more many times this year. Is Ash Eisenbarger, just the 4 points, 10 rebounds. Mia Sadie top scored for them with 12 points, 2 assists, and also Hutton as well off the bench with 11 points, 4 rebounds. And for the Senators, it was Chloe Forster, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and Carly Murphy as well, 17 points, 12 rebounds. Still waiting for Marina Whittle as well, which will be an interesting signing. And yeah, Jesse, while I've got you, the Warwick Senators are a very good team, keeping Carly Murphy, Stacey Barr, Nat Burton, getting in Izzy Miotti for, you know, and then also having Chloe Forster. And they are a scary team, and now adding Marina Whittle, who is, you know, a talent. She's been playing over in Europe, and she's played for Australia before and also was playing in the 3-on-3 for Australia. Yeah, they're just going to get even better, the Senators this year, Jesse.
Yeah, that gives them another bona fide scorer in the wing front court position to go with the great backcourt they have in Stacey Barr and Chloe Forster, and the depth they already have, like you mentioned, with Izzy, Nat Burton, and Carly Murphy. So, yeah, it's a formidable challenge that we'll have coming up this week.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, the battle for Joondalup, which we can talk about in a minute, which would be very interesting because it gets packed. The Joondalup games get packed, Jesse, as you know, but they get packed for the Battle of Joondalup. So that's gonna be one I hope to come down to if I can get a ticket. But let's go to Lakeside Rec Center as the Lakeside Lightning getting 121-77 win against Eastern Suns. Big win for Lakeside. And in this one, Tiege Morrell, who you know pretty well, you know, at her time, and also with Dave as well. 26 points, 12 rebounds. Katie Jones, her first game back, 26 points, 7 rebounds for her, and Garud as well with 18 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And Lakeside Lightning, you know, with new head coach Marty Zeller, the father of Tiege Morrell, and they just have a really, really good team. This Lakeside team is a lot different from what they had last year, but they're definitely someone to watch out for this year, Jesse, as well.
Yeah, and be familiar with Tia usage as well. And,
yeah, sorry, yeah. Definitely
kept my eyes on the game with Katie Jones's debut and seeing what she's about. And yeah, she's another strong player to add to the mix. And sometimes one player can have that big difference. And as you mentioned, it's not just one player they brought in this year, but a few, and they kind of have an impact on the rest of their teammates as well. So
yeah, and Eastern Suns in this one, Tiana Sears with the 19 points, 8 rebounds, and it was McGee Pleasant with 13 points, 10 rebounds, and Ella Fotu with 17 points and 2 rebounds. And we'll go to the Saturday games. And finally, for the East Perth Eagles, they get their first win of season 2024, and it was a breath of fresh air for them, as they had some big you know, players this week, 82-67 against the Mandurah Magic. Big win for the East Perth Eagles. And in this one, it was Mary Baskerville. She was dominant, 34 points, 20 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And she was shooting 86% from the floor. A dominant game from Mary. And Mary Golding as well, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And Tessa Morrison with 8 points, 7 assists. And I don't know if you saw any of this one, Jesse, but Baskerville has had you know, a bit of a tough start to the season. But, yeah, she was big in this one with 34 points, I mentioned 20 rebounds. And I don't know if you've, you know, any of these East Perth players have caught your eye, but East Perth have had, you know, a tough start to their season. They've, you know, being able to, you could have beaten Willerton, they could have beaten Warwick once out of the two they played them.
Yep.
And yeah, that, you know, they have had really close games, even against Suns. They went down by 1 in with seconds to go in that game. But yeah, they've kind of struggled. What's your thoughts on East Perth this year?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a better team than their record, right? So they've had those close losses that are always difficult. Mary Baskerville, we were looking into recruiting possibly as well, so I am familiar with her a little bit. And after our game last night, I checked the box score and I saw that Lacey Hawthorne had played over 40 minutes. I was like, oh, what happened here? And I saw it was an overtime game. So in an overtime game, have a significant margin victory. And that's a, you know, one that Mandurah would be a little bit frustrated with. They've also kind of been on the tough side of some of those tough losses where, like, they played well, but you come away with a loss and it doesn't feel good, you know? So I think that's where East Perth's been, and they're going to be a formidable challenge for everybody going forward.
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, going to OT, and the Eagles pulled away with 18 points to 3 points in that overtime. So yeah, big win for the East Perth Eagles in their first of the season. And it was Casey Milo for the Magic, 27.7 rebounds. She kept them in the game early on. Emma Clastorny with the 9 points, 8 rebounds, and also Rachel Helene added 9 points, 8 rebounds as well. And then going to Eaton Rec Center, the Perilex Hawks, 91-58 against the Slammers. Big win for the Hawks in this one. And yeah, a lot more different than their game on Friday. They, you know, putting up, you know, 91 points rather than the 56. But Ash Eisenbarger, you know, back to her ways as always. 31.7 rebounds for her. Gray Stone, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals. And then Ellie Newman, with 14 points, 3 rebounds. And for the Slammers, it was Bree Chalk with 11 points, 4 rebounds. Zaya Black with 11 points, 5 rebounds. And Courtney Bayless as well with 11 points, 2 rebounds. And then we'll go to Willerton Basketball Stadium as a big win for the Willerton Tigers against the Coburn Cougars. 86-63. And it was the first game of the season for Gillian Archer, as she's been a late signing for the Willerton Tigers, as they lost Imani Guy, and she's gone. Yeah, don't know where she's gone, but she's gone. I think she's living her best life in Bali or something. But it was Mel Brukanovic with 29 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists. And yeah, Julian Archer, as I mentioned, a double-double in her first game, 24 minutes, 16 points, 12 rebounds. And Claire Jacobs as well, 16 points for them. And then for Coburn, Steph Gorman with 15 points, 6 rebounds. And Jesse Edwards as well with 10 points, 5 rebounds. Yeah, different. I actually haven't been able to watch this one, but Willerton must have done a great job defensively with a 23-point win. And, the Cougars only scoring 6 points in that third quarter and the Tigers 28. That's definitely, Jesse, as you know, you can't give up a third quarter like that or any quarter. I don't know if you saw much of this game, Jesse, and your thoughts on this one.
I did check the extended highlight. I think Willerton's one of those teams that filling in with Jillian Archer really gives them a strong 7 or 8 in their rotation. Just makes them a really balanced team, kind of completes them. And then for Coburn, they've been, roughly 50% of their shots from the field have been threes throughout the season. And you just have one of those tougher shooting nights, and it's tough to make that up on the scoreboard. So most likely not indicative of any kind of pattern with Coburn. They're going to make some shots. They're going to make some threes. So just one of those games.
Yeah, definitely. And then Nils Hansen Basketball Stadium, it was the Perth Redbacks getting a 21-point win against the Goldfields Giants, 82-61. And for the Goldfields, it was Zipso with 16 points, 21 rebounds. Fetch as well, adding 13 points, 9 rebounds. And then for the Perth Redbacks, it was 16 points, 9 rebounds for Brooke Malone. And Michaela Perini as well, adding 11 points, 11 rebounds and 6 assists. And Nacho with 16 points, 9 rebounds. A big win. And no Annalie Malia, she's gone to go and play, start training with Australia for their upcoming Tokyo Olympics. But still a big win for the Perth Redbacks. And then we'll go to Mike Barnett Sports Complex. It was a big win for the Rockingham Flames against the Joondalup Wolves, 93-63. And Jesse, just some thoughts on this one. The Rockingham Flames are a tremendous team this year. Georgia Pinot coming in this year. Nashea Parker-Williams, a former Wolf. Jess Jacobs, a former Willerton Tiger. Sophie Doran, former Tiger as well. Emma Gandini. They've got such a tough team. A tough loss for you girls. But what was maybe some positives you had coming out of that Rockingham game?
I mean, one of the tougher road trips anybody's going to have in the year is going to Rockingham. So we knew we'd have our work cut out for us. And I do think that we played pretty well for the last 15 minutes of the first half. So that stretch, looking at on film, trying to take away some positives, but always going to be tough if you put yourself down double digits just to start the game in the first couple. So hats off to them. They played really well.
And they are a tough team and still undefeated this year in 2024. But some scorers for both sides for Rockingham. It was Georgia Pinot with the 19 points, 8 rebounds. Nashea Parker-Williams, 17 points, 14 boards. Emma Gandini with 22 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, nearly a triple-double. And for the Wolfpack, Julia Chandler with 19 points, 4 rebounds. And Sarah Tweener adding 17 points, 2 rebounds. And someone that people might not know much about is Julia Chandler, and she's from Canada. This year she's averaging just about 16 points a game, 1.2 assists, and nearly 10 boards a game, shooting 48%. What do you like about Julia, and what does she bring to your Wolfpack this year?
I mean, one, and with quite a few players on our team, they're just a joy and a privilege to coach, just a great personality, a very serious basketball player. So that's always nice to add in. And then just in terms of her skill set, she's versatile. She can be dominant in a lot of different areas. She brings an edge all the time. So those are some of the things I enjoy most about coaching her.
A big addition to your Wolves, Jesse. And we've finished with the fixtures for round 6, but all the results. We're going to go to round 7 after this. And after the break, we're going to talk about all the fixtures. We're going to get some tips from yourself, Jesse. And let's see who's going to get some wins in round 7. But Jesse, hopefully you're all good to stick with us for a little bit longer.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
All good. Well, don't go anywhere, listeners. We're going to be back to talk with Jesse Pence, head coach of the Joondalup Wolves Women's. And back in the women's division with Jesse Pence, head coach of the Joondalup Wolves. And Jesse, I've been seeing I actually don't know how long ago you've started posting, but you have a little bit of a YouTube channel, and I've been watching some of the videos, and you look and seem. Sorry, Jesse?
Is that me teaching math, or what is that?
I think it's like your basketball stuff. But I love it. I love it. But, you know, you're a very X and O's guy, and I wish I could, you know, being a coach, I wish I could be way better at my X's and O's. But, yeah, what's kind of, what do you love about coaching? And, you know, what coach are you? You know, you're a player coach, you know, you seem to love, as I mentioned, X and O's. But, yeah, what do you love as well about coaching basketball?
Well, I mean, I just love the journey each year. I try to have, you know, positive games, positive trainings, and try to impact somebody's season and hopefully their career going forward. So just trying to really be bought into my players year after year. I think what you might see on YouTube is, you know, maybe a 10-year quest to know everything I could possibly about basketball and save it. And after a while, you know, the plays are just the plays. You got to coach the players. But
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot going on at Joondalup. And what do you love about the club? Because you, as I mentioned before, have such a great fan base. It's definitely got to be the best, I would say. I grew up at Joondalup. That was my club as a kid. They've always had such a great fan base, but it's just exploded when they moved to HBF Arena. So, what do you love about the Wolfpack fans? And, maybe give them a bit of a shout-out and some love.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the clubs would have, you know, quite a connection to their Wobble programs, but I just think that our connection is pretty special, with David and I each working in that space and having a connection to the NBL 1 teams and a thread to our Wobble teams. And it's just, you know, everybody says it's family, everybody says it's community, and, you know, we hope that we mean it when we say it. So it's great to see the familiar faces. People support us preseason, during the season, postseason, and it does feel like everybody's on the same side.
Yeah, well, like I said before, if you want to get down to a Wolves game, you've got to get there early, as you normally seats do kind of run a bit scarce there. But let's go to round 7 in the NBL 1 West, as on Friday the 10th of May, Wally Hagan Stadium, the Coburn Cougars taking on the Perth Redbacks. It's very interesting, two teams who have come off some losses, and yeah, I'm really not sure about this one, Jesse. I'm going to go with Coburn just because they're at home. But this is going to be a good game nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I think Coburn at home would be a safe pick, and potentially with Maylee still out, you reckon? So
yeah,
yeah, I mean, Redbacks definitely have enough to compete and come away with a. But at home, you have to go with Coburn.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough place to play at Wally Hagan in the Den. And then let's go to Bendat Basketball Center, as the Perry Lakes Hawks taking on the Eastern Suns. This will be a good one. It depends what Perry Lakes we see, if they're going to be scoring 90 points, or if you know, if they're going to be out there and they're going to be hot, they're scoring 90 points, then I'll definitely go with them. But if they're, you know, if their offense isn't running well, if Eastern Suns change up their defense or something, I don't know, if whatever they do, and keep them under 60 points, you know, or Suns would more than likely win. But yeah, we've seen both sides to the Hawks this weekend, but they've just gone. So I'm going to go with Perry Lakes at home. Ash Eisenbarger is a terrific player, and you know, Mia Sadie, they've got a good team. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Hawks in this one, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with you that the Hawks would be the favorites, but I'm going to pick the upset in the Suns. I think they had matched up in round 1, and the Suns didn't quite have, you know, their full repertoire of players. And so I think that looking to have a bounce back game, and I mean, I don't know how much retribution, or just try to win any game you can, but I expect the Suns to come to play, and I'll pick the upset in this one.
Yeah, that would be an interesting game as well. Bendat Basketball Center, as I mentioned, the Suns and Perry Lakes, and then the battle of Joondalup, HBF Arena, the Joondalup Wolves taking on the Warwick Senators. I know who you've got, Jesse, but I'm gonna go with the Wolves at home. I think definitely you girls can get a big win against Warwick, but they're still a tough side. So yeah, what's your thoughts firstly on the Battle of Joondalup? Because for years and years and years, there's been this rivalry between Warwick and Joondalup, and it goes back to the Barbagello days, goes back to the Wanneroo Wolves. What's your thoughts on, you know, the Battle of Joondalup, and it's going to be an exciting game night anyway with everything that's going on, all the Senators fans there and the Wolves fans. There's going to be a lot of hype to this one.
I've always been impressed for the past two seasons about how spirited it is, but also kind of well-mannered. Like, I don't think the fan bases like go at each other any natural way. So that's always great to see in a sporting environment. I'm going to take overtime. I don't know who wins yet.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Yeah, and I'm going to go with you girls, as I said, but what have you got to do in this one to hopefully get the win against Warwick?
Yeah, I mean, I think as much as you can try to limit some of their better scorers, but they've got quite a bit of depth, and you got to prepare for the possibility of Marina Whittle being there for her first game as well. So you'll be stretched thin trying to guard everybody at the same time, but both teams got to guard each other, and it'll be a tough game. I mean, it's one of the tougher ones. We're in that kind of stretch of our season where it's tough game, tough game, tough game, and that's what you got to do. That's why the league's so good, is that there's quality opposition week to week.
Mm, and I wanted to ask about the scouting at the start of the season, and it's so tough with ins and outs and who's going to be playing. You know, it's not kind of reported as much as bigger leagues like the WNBA or even the NBA. You know, you kind of know who's not going to be there at times when you're on a coaching staff or anything like that. But yeah, how's it been at the start of the season to, you know, just, you know, maybe scout someone and then they don't turn up, or you don't scout someone and they do turn up and stuff like that. But what's the battle with you, and kind of what are you looking at when you go into the game days?
Yeah, I mean, you got to put everybody that's possible to be there on the scout and prepare for them. And, you know, you might have an inkling that somebody's in or out. You might catch the word of some rumors, whatever, but you got to prepare to play their best team. And most of the teams that, even if they're missing one or two, they've got plenty of players to step up and expand their role. So it is tough, like maybe rounds 1, 2, 3, where you just don't have a lot of film and a lot to go on, and teams are really changing. But by this point of the season, you know, you got film out of everybody. You can clip it up. So you still got to beat them. You still got to actually, you know, go play the game. But in terms of scouting, at least it settles in by about this time of the year.
Mm. Well, then let's go on Saturday night, 5 p.m., Bowen Oasis and Leisure Centre. The Perth Redbacks taking on the Southwest Slammers at 5 p.m. And I think the Slammers not having a win again this year so far. Tough for them. But I think the Perth Redbacks will get the win in this one, with or without Annalie. But yeah, what's your thoughts, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I would tip the Redbacks. They do have the doubleheader as well, though, so that makes it a little bit more challenging for them. Mm. So, you got at home.
Yeah, sorry, Jesse, what were you going to say? My bad.
I was just going to say, you got to tip Redbacks at home. I think they've got a little bit more proven players in the league. The Slammers play a really good brand of basketball, and they play together, so they're going to have their day.
Mm, yeah, definitely. And then at Warwick Stadium, a doubleheader, as you mentioned, for the Warwick Senators as well, and also Coburn too. But this one, I'm going to go with Warwick at home. I think they play great at home. It depends how they're beaten up on Friday night and how they can come to Warwick on Saturday. Yeah. But I'm going to go with Warwick in this one.
Yeah, that's part of our plan of taking them to overtime. They're looking at the doubleheader and then like, just get it over with. So we can take them to overtime and then Coburn can have them afterwards. But I think that's, you know, I think that one's too close to call. I think it's two top teams in the league. And, you know, like you mentioned, some of the ins and outs. But I think that one's too close to call. I think it's going to be a great game.
Mm. And then let's go to Lakeside Rec Centre's Lakeside Lightning taking on the Willetton Tigers. This is going to be a really good matchup. I don't know who I'm going to pick. I did not know who I'm going to pick in this one. I might listen to you, Jesse, first. Who are you going to go for in this one?
I mean, I feel like both teams were, you know, missing one or two players for round one, and I think Lakeside pulled that one off. You just figure both teams have been like, they're like proximity close too, right? It's a real rivalry.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's all right.
I'll take Willetton, so that's not making me mad at me.
Okay, I'm going to go Lakeside just because you went Willetton, but this is going to be a great game. I'm hoping I can catch some of this one on Saturday night. That'll be a really interesting one, as I said. And then we'll go to Niels Hansen Basketball Stadium, Goldfields Giants taking on the Mandurah Magic. I think Vlad Alava will have his Mandurah Magic roaring this week at training and after going down to East Perth, but I think Mandurah will get this one, but it'll be a close one. I'm just going to go with Mandurah, but it is a tough journey to Kalgoorlie. That's kind of, you know, not great for them with the journey and everything. But, I'm just going to go with Magic in this one. But I think anyone can win this one. Jesse?
Yeah, I do think the Giants have found some better form with a couple of players coming in a little bit later. But, I have to agree with you that Mandurah coming off of an overtime loss, I think they're going to be galvanized and ready to go at in Kalgoorlie. So say Mandarin.
Yeah. And then last game of the round, Rayovan Sports Centre, the Eastern Suns taking on the Rockingham Flames. And look, I love the Suns. I think they're a great team, but I don't know if they'll have I don't think they'll have enough to beat the Rockingham Flames. I don't know if the Flames will be getting a loss this weekend. But yeah, I'm going to go with Rocco in this one, Jesse.
Yeah, nothing to dissent with on that one. I think Rocco's the pick.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's the wrap as well for round seven, all the fixtures. And yeah, check out the NBL One app. Download it. You can watch all the games and get all the news, all the updates from the women's division and also the men's. And yeah, as well, get down to any of the stadiums you can, because there'll definitely be one basketball game close enough for you. So a lot of action in the NBL One West this week. But Jesse, before I let you go, you know, for your first year, did you have any kind of, you know, especially going into it, I don't know if this is you, but I would definitely be if I was a brand new, you know, new head coach. But, you know, was there any doubts of how yourself and how you'll coach, or, you know, I'd say, was the head spinning, you know, when you maybe got the offer, and what did you think about when you first got that offer from Andrew Somerville to be the new head coach?
Whether it's questioning or doubts, I wouldn't go that direction. I think there's more of an excitement, and it's always your choice whether to take something that's anxious and make it nervousness, or to channel it into excitement. So I choose to channel into excitement. It's been a few years since I've head coached, but it's like riding a bike, taking the training wheels off hopefully soon, but just trying to get used to my group and work with them. Like I said, we've had a good start to the year. Obviously go a little bit off the tracks last night, but nothing we can't bounce back from, and you're supposed to go through some ups and downs throughout a season and bring yourselves together. If I could just say as well, I really appreciate you covering both the men's and the women's league the way that you do, and doing such a good job with that. So hats off to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm assistant coach myself, and I love the women's game. I started assistant coaching with the women's at East Perth years ago. I just love the women's game. I just really do enjoy it. So I love covering it. And we love women's basketball here. We love it. We love it, Jesse.
Yeah, you did a great job. Really
appreciate it. Thank you so much. And Jesse, really, really appreciate your time. I'd love to have more chats with you as well, and pick your brain a bit more. But it's great to have you on the show, and yeah, really appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot. No problem.
No problem. And don't go anywhere, because we're going to talk to Michael Dupree from the Willerton Tigers. Talk about everything men's division just after this. Don't go anywhere. And we're in the men's division of Fast Break this week, and a very, very special guest and a good friend of the show. It's from the Willerton Tigers, Michael Dupree. Michael, thank you for coming on the show again. I know I had you on a few seasons ago, and last year in your first year. Appreciate your time today.
Oh, man, I appreciate you guys always having me.
No problem. And as I said, we had you on last year, and you were with in Kalgoorlie with the Goldfields Giants. And it's good to have you still in the league in the NBL One West, and you're here with the Willerton Tigers. I wanted to ask, what was the reasoning for you to come back to Perth? I know a lot of people love Perth, and Perth is a great place, but that's biased from me. But what was the reasoning for going to the Willerton Tigers and coming closer to the city in WA?
I felt like last year for me, I got a taste of the league, and, we didn't win any games as I wanted to in at Goldfield, but, getting the second opportunity to play in the WA at Willerton, I want to be known as a winner, and that was things I really strive that I wanted to do in the offseason, and just prepare to win the close game. We were losing a lot in Goldfield, and just focus on little things that get us over the hump. So I feel like I wanted to bring that that winning mentality and just keep back in good days and really just become a winner. Coming to Willerton, I'm really thankful to have that opportunity to go there. So I feel like early. So
Yeah, well, last year you were the club MVP for Goldfields. You know, you finished the season 20 points a game, or just over 20 points a game, just about 4 rebounds a game, just over 3 assists and shooting 42%. How did you feel, because I spoke to you in the middle of the season, but how did you feel you did last year? And as you said, you know, on a team that maybe didn't have as many wins and was maybe the lower part of the NBL 1 West in the men's division, how did you feel how did you feel about your first season in the NBL 1 West last year?
I feel like individual standpoint, I feel like I had a really good season. Obviously, it could have been better. Could have shot the ball a little better and everything. Obviously, there's some improvements you could work on. But overall, from my first ever contract I ever received, like playing pro, like I would say, all right.
Yeah, it's it was a great. It was different, right? So I think I spoke to you. So I spoke to you with signing with Goldfields, and like, how was it for you to just go from to come from the States and then go to this place, you know, where there's nothing. It's a mining town. How was that for you? You know, going to Kalgoorlie, and I bet it was maybe a culture shock. You know, going all the way there.
Oh man, so I originally I went to a junior college. In Washington State, that kind of reminded me of Cal. Like, it was a really small town. Like,
yeah.
And so, like, I think experiencing that and then going to Cal wasn't really a shock that people might have thought it would be for me. You know, because the community over there, like, in Cal was really good. Like, the people were great. You know, it's a small town, so everyone, like, embraces a lot of people. And, like, anything that goes on positive there, like, they embrace it. You'll see them in the stores and people would tell you how to come to the game. You know, the support system is really cool over there. So I definitely enjoyed time in Cal. But of course, like, being in a small town, you have the cons as well. And that's not really being able to do as much as you want to do in the city. So not much stuff to do over there. But I mean, it's one of those places where, like, you know, it's what you make it. But if you want to have a some friends and, like, you know, go to a park or like a barbecue or something like that, you know, you can do that. But, you know, if you're going to be at the house and watch Netflix all day, that's really what's always going to be able to do, because not that much stuff to do in Cal. So, yeah.
Well, it's definitely different for someone coming from the States and, you know, but it's great. The club in the Goldfields is great. And yeah, we love having them in the league, and they've been pretty successful, especially in the women's division. Now having a women's team for the past few years. But Mike, let's go to some of the games for round 6 this week. And first up, it was the Coburn Cougars getting a win over the Slammers 93-81. And scorers for them, it was Gavin Field, 15 points, 12 rebounds. Reese Vague with 16 points and 5 rebounds, 6 assists. And then also in that one, Josh Hunt with 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And for the Slammers, Boy Tuch with 24 points, 11 rebounds. And then also off the bench, it was Flynn with 14 points. And yeah, Alex Holcomb, just the 4.7 rebounds. I really like the Slammers this year, and they've kind of been like maybe like a wild card team. You know, they got Matty Angmuo, getting Boy Tuch back, Alex Holcomb, their import. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the Slammers yet this season, but you would have last year. You know, I think they're a way different team this year in a way. But yeah, they're definitely, I think, as I said, a wild card team in 2024, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. I think Slammers, even Mandra, but
yeah,
going back to this, no team is a walk in the park. Obviously, you have to play your best game against the Slammers, because they believe each and every night that they could be able to win a game, and they're showing it. They're in almost every game, so I think they could potentially make the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, they have had a few losses in the past few weeks, but they're still a team that like you said, I could see them getting to the finals as well. So yeah, well, let's go to the next game at Bendat Basketball Center. It was 107-83 win for the Warwick Senators. And in this one for the Hawks, it was Daquan Abram, 21 points, 2 rebounds. And then off the bench, Jalen Key as well with 21.7 rebounds, and Keegan Phillips with 12 points, 4 rebounds. And for Warwick, it was Michael Harris, 42 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists for him. Cody Ellis as well, 25 points, 2 rebounds, and George Pearl, 16 points, 10 rebounds. And then also on Friday night, it was Lakeside Lightning getting a big win, 97-93 at Lakeside Rec Center against the Suns. And Mike Adewumi, 40 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists for him. Max Richards also with 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And Marshawn Blackman as well with 14.6 rebounds. And for the Suns, Malik Nelson, 23 points, 8 rebounds. Brian Michaels, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And Exeter off the bench with 16 points, 5 rebounds. And I like the Suns team this year. They've got a couple ins coming in for, you know, the middle of the season. So, they're just going to grow even better. So let's go to Saturday. And the East Perth Eagles having a huge win against the Mandurah Magic at Morley Sport and Rec Centre. And 102-100, it went down to the wire. And Sunday Dech in this one, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. David Aquera, 25 points, 14 rebounds. And Jeremy Grace, he's been struggling with a bit of injury. But on and off, he's been in the lineup and not playing so many minutes. But yeah, this week, 30 minutes and 19 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. And then for Mandurah, it was Joel Murray with 29 points, 5 rebounds. Molnar with 28 points, 1 rebound. And then it was Michael Durr with 9 points, 13 rebounds. And then Lockie Bertram adding 18 points. And this is, like we've said, Mike, this is also a team that last year, Mandurah were bottom of the ladder, second last bottom. And this year they've made a big jump, and it's definitely a tough loss against, another good team, East Perth.
Yeah, them having, I think he got player of the week twice already. Yeah, Joel Murray.
Mm.
He's a really special talent over there. You could tell that him and, forgot the shooter. What's the shooter's name again? They have.
Molnar. That's Molnar, yeah.
Molnar's. I played against him in Darwin in the offseason.
Yep.
Get to know him a little bit better. But yeah, he could play ball a lot too. So them having them two pieces, and like the pieces they have like around them, you could tell like they can go on a winning streak at any moment. So that's a special group.
Sorry, Mike. Yeah. So good team for Magic, and it was a really close game at Morley on Saturday night. And then we'll go to Warwick Stadium as the defending champions get a 9-point win against against the Warwick Senators. Jared with the win, 96-87. And this one, Todd Withers, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Cody Ellis, nearly 20-point game again, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And George Pearl with 14 points. Josh Brawman, 28 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. And Nick DeSantis with 17 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And Josh Keyes also with 17 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. And then going to Eaton Rec Center as the Slammers going down 80-92 against the Perry Lakes Hawks. And it was Boy Tuch again with 25 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and also 6 steals. As well, yeah, with 16 points, 2 rebounds. Alex Holcomb with a double-double, 15 points, 11 rebounds, and then 4 Perry Lakes. It was 31 points for Daquan Abram, having a good season as last year was with the Magic, and now coming up to Perry Lakes, 31 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Matt Leary with 18 points, 4 rebounds. Jalen Key with 15 points, 6 rebounds. And another loss in round 6 for the Slammers. And then let's go to your game, Michael. It was a big win against Coburn, 99-97 at Willetton Basketball Centre Stadium. And Marty Nelson with 22 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists. And Michael Dupree yourself, 20 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And then also off the bench, it was Roosevelt Williams Jr. with 11 points, 2 rebounds. And what are you loving about this team? You know, there was a bit of an extra add-in to the team with Marshall Nelson at the start of the season. You have like Damian Scott, who's been around the league for a while. Mike Vigor as well, who's a legend of the league, and he's been around. Tom Jerovich, who's an up-and-coming big. And then the same as, Roosevelt Jr. as well. So Roosevelt Williams Jr. So, what do you love about playing with this team at Willetton?
What I love about playing with the team is, I feel like we're learning new things, like to better our team each and every day. And I know a lot of teams say they're close and then you don't see it in the game. But I feel like our team, like, I feel like really, really gelling. And, like, you know, we wasn't satisfied with our win that we had against Colburn. We knew we had a lot of stuff that we needed to fix. But the fact that we're learning and trying to figure things out and we're winning games, is, I feel like that's real scary, you know. And I just feel like playing with, like, Marshall Nelson and learning, like, from him and just, like, just learn how to, like, be a good backcourt with each other. I think that's really helping the team a lot as well. And then learning from, obviously, like, the legend himself, Damian Scott, like teach me how to, like, you know, little stuff is, like, being a better cutter, moving out the ball and stuff like that. And having, like, Mike Biggs as well, like, all the veteran leadership we have with him, it just really, like, it shows, starting to show a lot. And but we're only going to get better and better through the season.
Yeah. And then let's go to Colburn. In this one, it was Reese Vague with 29 points, 10 rebounds. Gavin Field, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists. Josh Hunt as well with 15 points. And Demetrius Morant with 12 points, 15 rebounds. Yeah, and a big win for your Tigers, Michael. And just quickly, how did you feel about this game and getting a good win against a nice Colburn side?
Oh, man. It was one of those gut wins. You know, we had them at the beginning. I want to say we got up to as far as like 20 points lead, and then Reese caught fire. Like, he couldn't miss, and I was started to become like video game like for a minute. And then we got down six, and like 3 minutes left, and you know, we just called a timeout and just really said, you know, that they made the run, like, it's our time, and got it back together, and we ended up, you know, pulling out the win. And so I think that right there felt like a more of a playoff type of win, you know, like getting like a win like that, and so, you know, learning from it and going from there, really.
Yeah, big win for your Tigers. And let's go to Niels Hansen Basketball Stadium, your old stomping ground with the Giants, and they got a big win against the Perth Redbacks, 90-83. And yeah, I would have been, I tipped the Redbacks last week for our tips. But interesting win for the Goldfields, well deserved, as they've got a great team still this year, and some good imports. Randy Bell, he had 33 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. Deshaun Parsons with 25 points, 10 rebounds, and then Connor Gwick with 11 points, 6 rebounds. And for the Perth Redbacks, it was Miles Gibson with 31 points, 10 rebounds. Tevin Jackson with 13 points and 4 rebounds. So a big win for the Goldfields. And then going to, I feel like it was maybe game of the round as well. You know, I think a lot of people were watching this game, as it was the Joondalup Wolves getting a 3-point win against the Rockingham Flames, 80-77 at Mike Barnett Sports Complex. And for the Flames in this one, it was Devondrick Walker with 19 points and 4 assists. Quentin Dove with 14 points, 5 rebounds. It was Goyot Gak with 11 points, 14 rebounds. And Mike, you would have played against Quentin Dove last year, as he played his old team, the Joondalup Wolves. And yeah, he was definitely up there as you know, a favorite to be MVP. But Devondrick Walker just took it from him last year. But how crazy was it, and you know, to see that, you know, you've got the big three, I'd say, at Rockingham with Devondrick, Quinton, and then Goyot Gak. But yeah, what do you think about their lineup this year in 2024?
That's a scary lineup, you know. they all going for 30 points. But I think what's even more special about adding a piece like Quinton Dove is he can move without the ball and get rebounds and get put back a lot. So he does a lot of scoring without even having like an offense set for him. So that's always going to help players like Devondrick and Gorjak. So I feel like, and I think they only lost what, one game or two games now, and they're still gelling, trying to figure out things. So I think they'll be a real scary team come to the final.
Yeah, they're definitely a scary team. And when they had their team in general, I think Rockingham are a great team, and they have been for years, but then adding Quinton Dove pretty late in the offseason. But yeah, tough loss for the Flames. But for the Wolves, CJ Turnage, 27 points, 8 rebounds, and then Caleb Davis with 13 points, 5 rebounds, and then Jonathan Wade as well. He's back from injury, 17 points, 6 rebounds. So a good start for his season as he's only played the last couple games. And then let's go to the Sunday game as the Geraldton Buccaneers getting a 93-70 win against the Eastern Suns at Rayo and Sports Centre. And scorers for the Suns, Rick Nelson with 25 points, 12 rebounds. Brian Michaels with 25 points as well. And then for Geraldton, it was Aaron Ralph. In this one, big game, 26 points, 5 rebounds for him. Nick DeSantis, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. And then Ryan Blanchard off the bench with 17 points, 6 rebounds against his old side, the Suns. But, yeah, Michael, that's the wrap for round 6. And if you're all good to stay with us, we can come back and talk about tips for next weekend's games. And that's Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th of May. And yeah, I'll get your tips for who you think can win in those matchups for round 7, if that's all good with you.
Always. Let's do it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, listeners, don't go anywhere. We're going to come back with Michael Dupree from the Wilton Tigers. And back on the show. This week in round 7, we're going to talk about round 7 fixtures with Michael Dupree from the Willerton Tigers. And Mike, I think Willerton is a great team, and I think they have such a great how they work out with their juniors. I've spoke about it before with Grace Foster as well, who's been on the show as well a couple of weeks ago from the women's division. But what do you think about the club at Willerton? They've had a rich history of just success. And like I said, very successful club. And how is it to join Willerton? And what's your thoughts on the club in general?
Oh man, it's a big family over there. You can just tell everyone has a helping hand. They want everyone to succeed or reach their potential. There's already a lot of legends that's been Willerton, and they always come back and. If they see you, they're always talking to you, or they always want your best interests, always want to help. So I think it shows anyone that came out of Willerton, you can just see the camaraderie and everything they have, so.
Mm. And I know we kind of touched on it before, but having Marshall Nelson now with you guys, and that just strengthened the lineup, and he was just kind of trying to get in and fit in, find his role, and he has so far. But how good is it playing with someone like Marshall? He's definitely I think top 5 guards in the league, maybe even top 3. But what do you like about playing with Marty Nelson?
Yeah, I'll go on the record and say I feel like he's top 3 for sure.
Yeah.
I love playing with the guy. I feel like we're both learning how to play with each other more and more each game. And I think it's getting fun playing with him because we're starting to know what we like the ball at and stuff. And, he's he knows so much about the game, and just picking his brain or just, talking to him, even on the court, little comments we have, it just makes me, I'm improving my game well. And, I really like it. Having him as a backcourt, as a duo, is really good.
Mm. And with your season so far, I guess it's been tough for you and joining a new team and then also having a new head coach. And I wanted to ask about Adam Nina. Adam has played himself, and he's also a legend of the Willerton club. He's always been around Willerton. And what do you like about playing for head coach Adam Nina?
What I like playing about Adam is I like the fact that he's a player coach, and he's always willing to hear you out or hear feedback, what you see in the game, and he lets you play your game, and that's always important for a player to feel comfortable in a system that you go, especially for a new team program. So I feel like he's adjusted with me, and he's been helping me better and better each game. So I feel like with that. That in itself has helped me a lot make the transition.
Yeah. And then, quickly before we get into the fixtures, how do you feel about your season so far? It's only round 6 and then round 7 coming up this weekend. But, just about 21 points for you, just over 2 assists, about 3 rebounds a game, shooting 46%. How do you feel you're doing with Willerton this year and, just kind of fitting in to how Adam and all the team, does things at Willerton? But, what's your thoughts on your season so far?
I feel I always could improve, better percentage, better free throw percentage. That's why you play though, right? Just practice, just keep improving on my like defense and rebounding and stuff like that to help the team a little better. But I feel like what I'm learning a lot on this team is that we have a lot of scorers, have a lot of threat, and we have a deep bench. So I'm just starting to realizing more and more like how to be more effective in spurts, because I realize with this team, I don't have to play a certain amount of minutes, like heavy minutes all the time, because we have such like a young core that's really hungry, that can go out there and produce really good minutes. So to me, it's just learning how to like be effective in the minutes that I have, and not like be so dependent on heavy minutes, being effective during the minutes I have during the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, you boys are doing great, and the team, it looks like you're fitting in really well with everything that's going on at Willerton. But, Mike, let's go into some of the games for round 7 in the NBL 1 West. And first up at Wally Hagen Stadium on Friday the 10th at 8:30. So Coburn Cougars taking on the Perth Redbacks. And this is going to be an interesting game, because Coburn coming off of a loss from the Tigers, from you guys, and then also the Perth Redbacks as well, struggling in Kalgoorlie. But this is a tough one. I don't even know I'm going to pick. I'm only going to go with Coburn because they're at home. But that's the only reason I'm going to go with Coburn. But this is going to be a close one on Friday night. What's your thoughts on that one, Michael?
If I'm not mistaken, does Perth Redbacks have Joe Cook Green back, or is he?
That's a good question. I don't know. So like you said, I think with him, I could see them, Redbacks winning. But yeah, I'm actually not 100% sure. But that'll be cool. That'll be good to look out for, Michael.
Yeah, if he's not playing, I'm gonna go with Coburn. I think Coburn is starting to find themselves as well as a basketball team, and I think like they're heading towards the right direction. So yeah, I think Coburn will get that game.
And then let's go to Bend at Basel Center as the Perry Lakes Hawks taking on the Eastern Suns at 8:30 p.m. as well on Friday night. And I'm going to go with Perry Lakes on this one, and playing at Perry Lakes. They're a great team this year. Very different team as we've seen from the past. But Daquan Abram, he's having a great season so far. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Perry Lakes in this one against the Suns, Michael.
I'm going with Perry Lakes as well. I think Perry Lakes has too much firepower for Eastern Suns. I'll go Perry Lakes as well.
Well, Marik Nelson having a great season for the Suns so far, and Brian Michaels as well. But yeah, Perry Lakes, they've still got a pretty good roster this year as well, with Jalen Key and as I mentioned, Daquan Abram. So and let's go to HBF Arena Joondalup. It is the battle for Joondalup as the Joondalup Wolves taking on the Warwick Senators, and this is going to be packed. So if you're wanting to get down to this game, you're going to have to get there really early, because it always sells out at HBF Arena. But now with actually the extended seating and everything, so you might not actually sell out as quick as usual, but they normally do every year. This is tough, but I'm going to go just with the Joondalup Wolves because they're at home. They're having a really good season. And Warwick as well, you know, with their side, Michael Harris, Todd Withers, and the guys they have. I still think they're a great team, but I'm going to go with Joondalup at home winning this one on Friday night, Michael.
I'm going to go Warwick.
Okay.
I think they give Joondalup their first L of the season. I think they're clicking in the right direction as well, and their bench is really producing well. And I think Todd Withers. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
But them two are clicking, and they're playing really good basketball as well. And I think I forgot his name. Is it Kate? He retired, but he came back.
Yeah, Cody Ellis. Yeah,
Cody Ellis. I think he's starting to like get his legs back, and he's starting to play really good basketball. So him coming back and being more in shape is gonna definitely. You can see it week by week. So I think they come up with the upset.
Yeah, and also Caleb Davis and we'll be playing and Ethan Elliott, will be playing, you know, their old side, Warwick Senators. So that's going to be interesting. Two guys who made the move. Sorry, Michael.
going to be a great game to watch for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I wish I could get down there on Friday night. But let's go to ActiveVoice Stadium on Saturday night. The East Perth Eagles taking on the Geraldton Buccaneers. They had a great game on the weekend, as you mentioned, against Mandra, and they have the pieces to, you know, make a run this year. But I think Geraldton being the champions and also being at home, I'm going to go with Geraldton, but I'd love to see East Perth get a win and against the defending champions. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Geraldton in this one, Michael.
I'm going to go East Perth.
Yeah.
I think Sunday and David Aquare will have a really big games. And I think Tyler Young bringing the ball up, facilitating, doing his thing. I see them coming out with the upset.
Yeah, so that'll be a good one to watch as well. If you can't get up to ActiveVoice Stadium, you can download the NBL One app and, yeah, check out all the action. But let's go to Perth Redbacks taking on the Southwest Slammers at Belmont Oasis and Leisure Centre, also on Saturday. Look, I'm going to go with Perth Redbacks, even without Joe Cook-Green. But, yeah, it's a tough one. I wouldn't mind, you know, I wouldn't not see the Slammers win this game. I definitely think they can, but... yeah, they've been kind of on a drought in the last few weeks. So I'm going to go with the Redbacks, Michael.
I think the Slammers are going to pull it off. I think not having Joke really hurts Perth right now. And I think the Slammers is, like, really itching for the win to get over the losing hump. So I think they're going to do it and get the win this week.
Yeah. And then let's go to Warwick Stadium, as Warwick have to back up on Saturday night against the Coburn Cougars, and Cougars also having a doubleheader as well. But I'm going to go with Warwick at home at the Senate. So that's my tip for this one. What about you, Michael?
Yeah, I'll go Warwick as well. I think Warwick will bounce back from the loss they'll have.
yeah, exactly. And then let's go to Lakeside Rec Centre as the Lakeside Lightning taking on the Willerton Tigers and 7:30 PM. This is going to be interesting, Mike. You know, you're going up against someone you met in the off season, Mike Adewumi as well, who's a great guy. We did a little panel down at Buckets Basketball, so shout out to them. They're a good sponsor of the show. Look, I'm going to go Willerton. Mike Adewumi will be upset because he's been on the show. I bet he's going to hear it. He's going to be upset. But I've got to go with your Tigers boys. But I know who you're going for, Mike. But yeah, what have you got to do to get a big win against Lakeside? And Mike Adewumi, as we mentioned, you know, he's coming off of a big game, 40 points. So you guys are going to have to quiet him down.
Yeah, I don't know if he got player of the week yet, but I'm pretty sure he should get player of the week this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's playing. He's playing fantastic. It's really good to see him play well. Marshawn as well. Max, all them guys, great guys. But in order for us to obviously get the win, we have to really focus in on the two imports, which is Marshawn and Mike, and really make it tough for them. And I really, you can't really do too much with Mike. Mike's a special talent. You know, it's really one of the things we just try to just force the ball in his hands, try to double him, and make his teammates beat him. And I feel like we do the game plan that we're going to execute, and we should be fine.
Yeah, that would be an exciting game. Next one. At Niels Hansen Basketball Stadium, the Goldfields Giants taking on the Mandra Magic, and how Mandra kind of lost against the East Perth Eagles. They're definitely not going to want to go up to the Goldfields and have a loss in that game. So I'm going to go for the Mandra Magic in this one, but this is going to be a good matchup this weekend as well, Michael.
I'm going with Goldfield. I really think Goldfield is the last, if you go back and look at all their games, the games they lost, like they lost heartbreakers, at least two or three heartbreakers this year. So them, and even I want to say they should have beat the Wolves when they came up, and they, you know, I just couldn't close it out. But I think when it comes to even like the bus ride up there and playing that team, like with the rebounding and the offensive threat and Randy and his playmaking ability, I think I got Goldfield winning at home.
And then last but not least, it is the Eastern Suns taking on the Rockingham Flames, 8:30 PM at Ray Owen Sports Centre. I think Rockingham are too strong for the Suns, so I'm going to go for the Flames with a big win against the Suns. I think it'll be close, but I think the Flames will get this one definitely.
I don't think it would be close, but I got Rockingham. Rockingham winning that game. Like you said, it's much, much firepower. Scoring, scoring, got the rebounding, and got the shooters around. And yeah, I think it'd be too much overpowering for fans.
Yeah. Well, Michael, yeah, that's the wrap for round 7 in the NBL One West. And for the listeners, you can check out Game of the Week on KO, which hasn't been announced yet, but sometime during the week, if you're listening to this, you can check that out on KO Freebies. And then, like I said, also download the NBL One app. And yeah, you can watch all the action and get all the updates from the Mitsubishi Motors NBL One West season. And Michael, I appreciate your time, but before we go, is there any goals you've set for yourself this year? Is there something that you would love to achieve in our league? Maybe what's some goals that you might have set for yourself, like personal goals?
Individually goals, we'll make All-Star 5. Want to get a championship, want to get a national championship. I really want to be known as a winner in this league. That's one of the first and foremost things. And I really feel like I'm in a program where I feel like we have a potential chance to do all the things that I set before the season. And that's what excites me. That's what gets me going throughout the whole year. And, we just can keep stacking each game at a time and go from there. But yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think that everything that I wrote down can definitely be a possibility. So.
Yeah, well, Mike, you're having a great season, as I mentioned so far, but thank you again for your time. I love talking to you. I love seeing you around. So appreciate your time, and good luck for the rest of the season with your Tigers. And I'll see you here and there, and I bet it's not the last time I have you on the show. But as I mentioned, good luck for the season. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking to you again.
No problem. Thanks, Mike. Well, a big show this week is, as I mentioned, get down to any of the games that you can in the NBL One West, because the action is just getting even crazier as we go further into the season of 2024. Well, listeners, thank you so much for joining us this week, and next week we'll be back to talk more NBL One West here on Fast Break.